You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to William Hill's boxing podcast, as ever, in the company of Steve Bunce. You well, Steve?
I am indeed, Lee. I am indeed.
Good, good, good. It feels like a little while since we've actually spoken. I think maybe I had a week off at one point. Plenty going on in the world of boxing. We'll cover off the heavyweight scene when we speak about Usyk versus Witherspoon in a few minutes' time. We've also got Warrington defending his title, Josh Warrington, as well. So we'll come on to that in a second. Should we start in Belfast, though, Bunce? We're going to have a little stop off in Belfast, one in Leeds, and then we'll go over to the States. Some interesting fights on this Belfast card. It's one place where you always say it's one of your favourite places to go and watch boxing. It's one place that I've got on my bucket list to go and visit. And this looks like a decent enough bill, Bunce. Let's start at the top there, shall we? With Jay Harris fighting Paddy Barnes for the vacant IBF Intercontinental Flyweight title. It's 1-5 for Harris. It's 100-30 for Paddy Barnes. Harris is 16-0. Paddy Barnes is 6-2. Looks a good fight, Buncey. I was a little surprised to see the betting that wide. Is this just is the age the difference? I mean, Paddy Barnes is only 32, but is he a bit fresher, do you think, Jay Harris?
Yeah, I think Jay Harris is on a bit of a run. I like Jay Harris. He's one of the dozens of boxers in Britain that have held various titles and fight for various titles that are going so far, flying so far under the radar, it's unbelievable. Paddy's been in a bit of a spotlight, obviously lost the world title fight last summer outdoors in his beloved Belfast. And this isn't just a fight in Belfast. This is in the tiny King's Hall, if I'm not mistaken, or Ulster Hall.
Yeah.
Right in the centre of town. I mean, right in the centre of town. I mean, I think it sold out about 6 weeks ago, and it was a proper sellout, not a papered sellout, not a secondary market sellout, which is a polite way of saying touts buy all the tickets and sell them at an inflated price. No, this was a real sellout, and I think it's a tough night for Paddy Barnes, because I think Jay Harris is an exceptional fighter. This is a really good fight. This is a really good fight. This and a really good fight card. So I've got to go with Jay on this one. As much as it hurts me, because I've known Paddy about 12 years or so now. He went to about 48 Olympics. I mean, I don't kid you not. I mean, he's a unique individual. Two Olympic medals the man's got.
Yeah, yeah. How does it finish, Bunce?
I think Jay Harris gets to him.
All right.
I think
Paddy's
got a grand start. And then I think Jay Harris will get to him sometime around the 5-7 mark.
One other fight we'll look at on this one is the Terry Flanagan Michael Ansah fight. Flanagan's 34-2. Ansah is 17-9-2. So it shouldn't be too much of a problem for him. Flanagan, this is a Ghanaian, and you're never quite sure the records when the Ghanaians come over, Bunce, or kind of, you know, the level of the opponents, but they can be teak tough. Flanagan is the overwhelming favourite here. We have got a couple of markets though as to how the fight finishes. Flanagan is 1-66, which is the shortest price we've got of a few short prices on this podcast. Ansah is 14-1. It's 100-30 to win by decision. 1-5 to stop Ansah, Bunce. Is this a bit of a kind of, you know, just groping around in the dark to know how this will finish, or do you think Flanagan can get to him?
Well, no, Flanagan can get to any lightweight or light welter in the world. He's proved that. You know, he's been up at that highest level, and it's kind of odd. He's kind of the way he's floating around on these shows at the moment as a sort of undercard attraction in fights that are priced up like this, 1-66. So he wins comfortably. Does he try and stop the Ghanaian? I'm not so sure he does. It looks to me like it's a Flanagan on points job.
Right, yeah. Well, that would be the value. Let's go to Leeds now and have a look at Josh Warrington versus Sofian Takut. Great podcaster to your BBC podcast, Bunce, that yourself and Mike Costello put out the other day. A great interview with Josh. I mean, every time anyone interviews Josh Warrington, I've had the pleasure of doing a couple of after dinners with him. He's just an absolute dream, Bunce, isn't he?
Is.
And he talks so well, but he's obviously, you know, he's grounded and in that kind of environment. And after dinner, he's perfect because he pitches it just right as well. It's a real shame, isn't it? He's not the first fighter we've ever seen who's kind of been overlooked for a little while, but he's having to tread water a little bit here, Buncey. He nearly came unstuck treading water last time against a tricky customer. This Frenchman shouldn't be as tricky, but it's a banana skin, isn't it, Buncey? And you've got to kind of... The biggest danger he's got, I suppose, is complacency. At 1 to 50, he is. 12 to 1 for Takut, and the 33 to 1 the draw. Got loads of other betting around this fight as well. But do you worry about the... Because last time we spoke, before his previous fight, we were saying... When you said, I've been to see him, don't worry about complacency, it's not going to happen. And I'm not saying he was complacent, but then he did afterwards say, I kind of overlooked him a little bit. So it's still a danger, isn't it? Even for
See, complacency is an old disease that fighters have. In the sense that you can't easily sense it or see it, and you don't understand or believe you're being complacent until you actually get in the ring. So you do all of the same sparring with the same intensity. And in fact, the intensity before the Kid Galahad fight back in June was probably at its highest, higher probably than the Selby fight, and higher than probably than the Frampton fight, because Josh does not like Galahad. But there's still something in his mind, and that thing in his mind was, but he can't beat me. I really hate him, but he can't beat me. I really don't like him, but he can't beat me. Well, what I did say all the way along is that if you give Galahad a bit of space and a bit of time, and you fight, and you don't fight to your best, he gives anybody problems. I mean, Galahad's been ignored by an awful lot of fighters. Josh is talking about three or four big names not wanting him. I can assure you, the Galahad list would probably run to double figures. You know, Galahad was chasing Frampton. He was chasing Selby. He was chasing all sorts of people. No one wants to give Galahad a chance. Josh had to. He was forced on him by an organisation who invent their rules. It was always going to be a horrible, tricky night. This is a totally different thing. And some people are being critical, saying that Takut is this and Takut is that. This is the business we're in. We can't suddenly throw a spear in the sand and say, this is it. From this point on, we're only going to have guys fight guys if they've had this fight or that fight. It doesn't work that way. And wait for it, Lee. Here's shock. Sit down. Put a cold compress on your head. It's never worked that way, ever. In the history of boxing, have people actually got what they deserve. In boxing, as Don King said all those years ago, 1993, you know the story. In boxing, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate. And that's the way it is. They've got to fight this Frenchman going for him. Let's look at it. He's good. He's tough. He's hard. His last two defeats have been either a majority decision or split decision. He hasn't lost for 5 years, and he's never been stopped. It sounds like 12 rounds, because let's face it, Josh likes 12 rounds. He's been the full 12 eight times by my calculations. I don't think so. I think Josh gets to him. Josh has said this week, it slipped out. He said, I've got to make a statement. Mm. And he has got to make a statement. He's got to be able to send a short showreel to the various Americans and the various Mexican Americans and the Mongolians and the Chinese, all the other guys that are out there, so-called, quote, leading contenders, stroke champions, holding a version of one or other title, end quote. Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? So he's got to send a message to those guys. And the best way to send a message to those guys is with something that can be cut down into 25 seconds, packaged, sent online, and all of those guys can watch it, and what they'll be watching is Warrington getting to a guy, in my opinion, I've got a feeling, quite late in the fight, sometime around 8 or 9, up to about 12. I think he'll wear him down, eventually wear him down, because Warrington is a lot better than the men who have fought Takut in the past, and I just have a feeling Josh is going to get to him. I mean, he'll win comfortably over 12. I fancy he knows he needs, something better than that. I don't want to see 12 rounds of repeating themselves. I want to see Josh trying different things. I want to see Josh getting to him, and I think Josh will get to him last three rounds.
Mm, that's interesting, Buncey. Because when you listen to the podcast that Carl Frampton does, and when he spoke about that fight straight afterwards, the thing that came out was he was surprised at how hard Warrington was hitting. And obviously we haven't had chance to see that properly, because he couldn't really land a punch on Kid Galahad. So it'll be interesting to see if that's true, and there's no reason to not believe Carl Frampton, then that would be good. Here's a couple of prices, Buncey. You can take the whole of the second half, Warrington winning at 7-4, so a smidgen under 2-1, which is quite nice. So 7-12, if Warrington stops him in any of those rounds, you get paid out at 7-4. Warrington in rounds 11 or 12 is 9-1. 9 or 10 is 7 to 1, 7 or 8, 6 to 1. You can have individual rounds as well, of course. So there's plenty to bet on that. I'd be tempted to go on that second half of the fight, Bunty, just to kind of a little bit of security, and you're getting a price around 7 to 4.
And then here's the other thing. You know, this guy, he said he's a really good seasoned campaigner, this guy. And if he'd been the man that Warrington fought in the fight before Selby, it would have been ideal preparation.
Yeah.
Now he's just got to get it out of the way. He's got to, you know, it's a good, what's he going to do? Sit on his bum until April next year when someone gives him a chance? That means he would have gone 10 months without a fight. No, this is perfectly acceptable. And you have to understand that in this day and age, the degree of criticism that you get on various outlets on social media, not all of whom were anonymous, some of them should know better, they would criticize any fight. If this was Leo Santa Cruz, right, one of the greatest Mexicans of the last 20 years, against Josh Warrington in a bull ring in Mexico City with 40,000 people there, people would say something about Leo Santa Cruz being old and he can't make the weight. You have to understand that,
yes,
you know?
Sir. Absolutely.
You can't find a fight that someone won't find a flaw with.
No.
And this guy, especially now Errol Spence has had this incredible crash and this survival. Mm. When he's actually matched with Terence Crawford, people will say, yeah, but if he hadn't have turned his Ferrari over five times, he'd have more chance. You can't win with people.
That's true.
Lee, it's true.
No, it's true.
This is a perfectly acceptable fight. And I tell you what, don't rule out old Delia Smith's 12th man. Don't rule out the Leeds roar. Don't rule out the Leeds fans. Don't rule out the home advantage.
Yeah, and this guy's 30. His record reads 35-3-1. You know, he's lost to the same guy twice. So he's, you know, a bit of a bogeyman for him, Alexander Miskirshian. Back in, that was 2014, his last loss.
That's five years ago.
Absolutely.
And the two defeats to Miskirshian, both on points.
Yeah.
One was a majority,
yes,
and one was a split.
Absolutely.
And then the other defeat was 10 years ago on points. I mean, so there's nothing wrong at
no,
all.
No, not at
this
all.
Is,
no.
This is perfectly all right, mate. And someone will say, yeah, but he's number 126 in the box rankings. And then I'll point out someone who they love, who fought a world title defence against a guy who was 137 in the world box rankings. Rankings are done, here's a shock horror, by human beings. They sit around in rooms and they match them together. It's not like weightlifting, swimming or athletics where you've got some measure. It doesn't work that way. It's not like tennis or golf where the best always have to play the best so you've got a guideline. No, it's men and women sitting around going, you know what? You let me have that Frenchman at number 11 and I'll give you this Mexican at number 7 in the super featherweights. If you'll let me have that American at number 4 in the light heavyweights. Trust me, Lee, I've sat in on those meetings.
I believe you.
It's done, brother.
I believe you. Don't worry. So 7-4 then for Warrington, second half of the fight?
Absolutely, second half of the fight.
We'll have that one. Let's finish off with some other cracking fights on that bill, by the way. We haven't got the betting available just yet, but I'm sure it will be by the time Saturday night comes around. So check out some of those title fights on that Leeds Arena bill. Usyk versus Witherspoon, Bunsey. There's a fine little trade at the minute in being a standby heavyweight boxer because you could earn yourself a fair bit of cash. Just keep fit, keep in the gym. You never know when you're going to get the call from Eddie Hearn.
There's a great trade in being a heavyweight boxer who gets to between 8 and 16 fights without losing. Okay,
yes.
Who can talk. I'm telling you, that guy can pick up a nice payday against about 15 heavyweights at the moment.
Absolutely.
If you've got a gym, right, with 6 or 7 heavyweights, all of them unbeaten in 7, 8, 9 or 10. You've got some right paydays coming up as the promoter stroke manager.
Yeah. Fascinating fight, this one, Bunty. Obviously, it's Usyk's debut as a heavyweight, long-awaited, as it's turned out, for various reasons. His record is 16-0, obviously unified the cruiserweight division. He's stopped 12 of his opponents and largely regarded as one of the best boxers in the world. Last seen beating Tony Bellew back in November of last year.
Long time ago.
Yeah, it seems longer, actually. But his new opponent, Chaz Witherspoon, he's been around a while, but see, 38-3 his record. He's been stopped twice. He's stopped 29 of his opponents. Last lost back in 2012 against Seth Mitchell. The other losses came against Tony Thompson in 2009 and Chris Areola in 2008. Looking down his resume, Bunty, they're the best fighters he's fought, you would argue. And he's another one of those American, I mean, I don't know how many American heavyweights there are who are like Witherspoon, who are just kind of going around the circuit, fighting each other, sometimes fighting slightly better versions of each other, and just getting a record. I mean, I think Deontay Wilder was like that for a long time, and now obviously he's, you know, he's gravitating into the kind of loftier heights. How much of a test is this? He's not that big. He's 6'4" against Usyk 6'3". So he's, you know, physically they look about the same sort of shape, don't they? Usyk's put a bit of a timber on, which you'll need to, because I think they were about 50 pounds difference in their last fighting weights. Is this an ideal opponent for Usyk?
I've got no problem. If this had been the first opponent, I wouldn't have had a problem. It's the way it works. It's the business, as I've said throughout this little ranty Friday afternoon gig. Listen, I think Usyk, and he may have put on 50 pounds or 46 pounds or whatever, but bear in mind, when he got in the ring against Bellew, he'd probably put on 20 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
So think about it that way, because, you know, that was a weight classification fight. I yet to be under a certain weight. So don't be fooled too much by the weight situation. Usyk's dimensions make him a perfectly good heavyweight. Not a giant, but a perfectly good heavyweight. And he's also sensible. He says, the one person I fear, the man that's the most difficult to beat is... ... Probably shouldn't have said it, because he's looked after by Matrim, Tyson Fury. He fancies he can beat just about all of them. He's seen a lot of them in the flesh. You know, he's queued up in his underpants next to Anthony Joshua to get on the scales at World Amateur Championships and Olympic Games. So he knows the strength of him. He's seen Deontay Wilder, and he has no fear of him. He's too clever, Usyk. Usyk is a terrific addition. And hey, listen, of course, you're not a genius for saying for the last 3 or 4 years that Usyk's going to be the man at heavyweight. But I have been touting his very first 2 or 3 professional fights. It was obvious, so obvious, he was going to use a bit of science and move up to heavyweight. He'll be a heavyweight, and he'll show it on Saturday in Chicago. It might take him a couple of rounds to play around, to stretch himself. He did that against Tony Bellew. He allowed Tony Bellew to look brilliant for 3 rounds. Then he got 2 or 3 rounds and he turned it on. I fancy Usyk certainly by the fourth, probably in about the fourth. I think he's calculating. He's got a sense of humour. And I think even with his crazy eyes and his crazy eyebrows and his even crazier hair, I think this guy will take a very short period before he's a star. I mean, a genuine star, because people will start, word will spread that there is a guy out there who's the antidote to Fury, to Wilder, and to Joshua. And of course, what I would do if I was Usyk is I'd be challenging all three of them before and after every fight I have. Put them under pressure. Make it look like the three of them don't want to touch him. I hope Eddie can get him some quick fights. And I'd go challenging everybody. And you know what I would do? I'd start... You know what we might be entering? The era of embarrassing. We need to start embarrassing fighters who are not taking fights. And perhaps he can start. Absolutely. Perhaps he can start. Perhaps he can say, look, I challenged X, I challenged Y. He wanted too much money. He wanted too much money. He wanted too much money. It's about time. Josh Warrington has talked about 4 big-name fighters flat refusing fantastic paydays to fight him, because they're just treading water, waiting for their call. Mm. That's not a sport, Lee. That's a crooked business, mate. Usyk in the fourth round at the latest, and I like him.
Usyk in the fourth round. It's fascinating that you think he could become so dominant. I know that you're saying the size, the dimensions are right, but you know the height difference. Do you think that'll look that much different when he gets in with Wilder and Fury? That he'll look quite a bit smaller, won't he?
Yeah, Wilder and Fury are the big ones, but defensive, Wilder's not a problem. As I say, his big fear, and he admits it, is Fury, because he knows Fury won't engage, won't be stupid, won't make a risk.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Usyk in the first four. Buncey. Then you covered off just in case he gets off to an absolute flyer. We've got 4-6 for our first bet that we put up, which was the Jay Harris by stoppage. We've got Josh Warrington in rounds 7-12 at 7-4, and then we've got Usyk around the even money mark for winning in the first four rounds. That it's not the biggest price in the world, Buncey, But it's around 7-2 for the for that little treble, which is quite nice.
And if license to print money, so
yeah. And if you if you log in your William Hill account and hit the bet boost button, anything if you're making trebles or bigger, they'll boost the price as well. So you can't say fairer than that. All the prices at WilliamHill.com and on the app. Have a great weekend, Buncey, and we'll speak to you very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.